You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Student Pastor Josh Barnett.
If I don't know you, my name is Josh. I'm the youth pastor here at Christian Ministries. I'm excited about what God has put on my heart today. Pastor Tim is actually preaching at our church in Missouri this morning, so I was texting him back and forth. He's fired up about what he's sharing up there, and I'm fired up about what I'm sharing here. I need you to prepare yourself, though, because I'm going to say some hard things. But I want to preach to you today. I want to prophesy to you. I want to build us up today. I want to encourage our faith today. And so I'm going to share a word that I believe Holy Spirit put on my heart about these times that we're living in. And so we're just going to dive off into this. If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 16. John 16, I heard a couple sighs. Buckle up. We're going to have a good time. John chapter 16. Let's start in verse 19. It says, Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. And that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Verse 25. "Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Let me set the backdrop here for us. John 14, 15, 16, 17 are my favorite part of Scripture. I think I say that every time I preach, but it's because they're amazing. Maybe the most important part of Scripture. But Jesus is saying, "I have told you these things." What things had he told them? Well, first he said, it was telling them, "I'm leaving, but it's to your advantage that I'm going. I'm going to be with my Father so that I can send the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to be on the inside of you. So no longer will I be with you, but I'll be in you." Come on. "No longer will I be with you, but I will be in you." He also told them the world is going to hate you because it hates me, and that you're going to have to suffer like I have suffered. But he was not leaving them alone. He was going to fill them with the Spirit, a Spirit that would directly connect them to the Father. And in John 15, he says, "If you'll abide in me, I'll abide in you. And if you'll abide in me, you'll have this peace that surpasses all understanding." The very peace that Jesus walked in, we have access to. You will experience trouble. Not if you experience trouble, it's coming. You will experience trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Not he's going to overcome the world, he has overcome the world. Jesus has already won. He's already won the battle. He's saying he's won the war. He's saying, take heart, take courage, take boldness when you go against, there's a spirit in the world, and if you follow me, it's going to come against you. There's going to be resistance against you. But take heart, I'm in you, and I've already defeated what's coming against you. Come on. Sometimes we give the devil more, we give the devil power that he doesn't have. He's been declawed, he's bound, he's defeated. Colossians chapter 2 says that Jesus stripped away his power when he was on the cross. Amen. Take heart, Jesus has overcome. And I believe that Christians will overcome the world as they begin to believe that completely, that Jesus has overcome these things. Take heart, be of good cheer. He's already won. And I want to build up your faith. It doesn't matter what, I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter what happens on November 3rd. My job is still the same on November 4th. The kingdom of God is not dependent on who is in the White House. The kingdom of God has always been advancing since Jesus rose again. It has never stopped advancing. It's going to continue to advance. Nothing is going to stop the kingdom of God. Take heart. It's going to continue to advance. Yeah. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Come on. Matthew chapter 16 verse 13, it says, as they came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he says, who do you say the Son of Man is? And Peter steps up and says, you are Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will no longer call you Simon. You will now be Peter. You're going to be a rock. And on this revelation, Peter, that my Father gave to you, that I'm the Christ, I'm the Son of the living God, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell aren't going to prevail. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. We have those keys to the kingdom. That word he uses for church is ecclesia. And ecclesia is a governing body that has authority. We have authority. Jesus sent us into the world to make disciples of all nations. We have his authority. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go ye therefore into all the world. He's sending us out as his church, as his governing body. And he says the gates of hell, when he's talking about the gates of hell, he's talking about a place where demonic strongholds would rule from and make judgments from. And he's saying they are torn down and they will not overcome my church. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say hide out in your churches because it's getting really dark outside. He said, somebody turn the light on. Yes, yes. Take heart, I've overcome the world. Come on. Man. Told you we were going to have fun today. Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Not just that we conquered it, but we are more than conquerors. I've used my Tiger Woods example before. Tiger Woods, when he stepped on the golf course, he rocked everybody. People were afraid of him. Guys who had been playing golf since they were 2 years old, this dude would step up in his red polo and they would absolutely just melt and be destroyed. That's what happens when you walk in the room. Why? Because the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you and quickens your mortal body. My goodness. Come on. We've overcome. We've already won. We just got to get ourselves into a place of believing that we've already won. Where is the church that says, because I'm here, this atmosphere has to change? Where is the church that invades the darkness rather than hides from the darkness? It's time for the church to arise and shine, not run and hide. Man, I'm going to step on some toes here, but you're just going to have to bear with me. Can you imagine the New Testament church shutting down because there was a sickness? They wouldn't have been afraid of a virus. They would have said, even if God doesn't come through for me. We will not bow to fear. And we're going to preach this good news. We're not going to hide out. Come on, man. We are blessed that we've got a pastor with a backbone. Come on. Man, if you didn't hear last Sunday's sermon, you need to listen to it. And if it offended you, you need to let it cut on you. Because he talked about things that 90% of pastors are afraid to talk about. Afraid to talk about politics. And they're playing politics by not talking about politics. Because they're more concerned about their pocketbook than they are standing on the Word of God. And we've got a pastor that doesn't waver from truth. We have a pastor that stands on truth. He has vision. He has direction. He's going to preach the truth no matter what. We are blessed to have Pastor Tim. Man. He's a man's man. He's a shepherd that drives out wolves. You may not like everything he says, and you may not like how he says it. But he's a man's man. And I know him better than a lot of people know him in this room. And he's a man that comes in here, and he's going to watch this live stream later, so he doesn't want the spotlight. He doesn't want people to brag on him. He wants us to just point to Jesus. And so, but I want to honor him because you don't know this, but he comes in here and he walks these chairs and he prays for us. I've come into his office numerous times and he's at his desk crying, praying in the spirit for us. He's a man of prayer. Man, that's my pastor. And Paul said it Wednesday night. We're not saying it for a raise. We're saying it because he deserves honor. He does. He deserves honor. And so, you know, Tim and Terry will listen to this. We love you, Tim and Terry. We honor you. We bless you. So, it's time for the church to awaken. It's time for God's people to rise. It's time to take heart. Understand, the election is coming up, but God is not in heaven stressed out about it like we are. He's not wringing his hands wondering what's going to happen. Because no matter who wins, guess who's still on their throne? God's not going to go, oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened. No, he's got a plan. He's got a plan. And listen, I believe that America can co-labor with God and be a part of his plan. But I also believe that his plan is not dependent upon America. Because if America doesn't do it, he'll raise up somebody else that will. I am a patriot. I love America. But before I'm a patriot, I'm a Christian. I'm a citizen of the kingdom, and whether America rises or America falls, my job will still be the same. It is to spread this gospel to the nations of the world. It is to shine bright for him everywhere that I go. It is to raise my kids up in the way that they should go so when they're older, they won't depart from it. My job won't change. I will put my pants on November 4th just like I did on November 3rd. And I will walk into this world with boldness on November 4th just like I do on November 3rd. Come on. Listen, one guy might make it easier than the other. I believe that we should vote. Tim talked about why we should vote last Sunday. I believe that every Christian should vote. I believe it's a form of intercession. I believe you go in there and you sign that ballot and you're agreeing with the Lord who he wants to be in office. You should vote. And that shouldn't be offensive. I don't know why that's offensive. And I'm just going to say it. There should be no question on who Christians should vote for. It's settled. One party advocates for 8-year-olds can get sex changes. The other party just said that Jesus Christ is the most famous man in all the earth. It's simple to me. It's simple to me. But if we make it about us, one candidate is the most pro-life person we've ever had in office. One candidate is the only person who has ever allocated millions and millions and millions of dollars to fight human trafficking. Yeah. I'll say it this way. One man is the only man who's ever been in office and given millions and millions and millions of dollars to rescue little kids who are being raped all day long. It's easy. For me, it's an easy vote. And if you find that offensive, God bless you. Somebody told me the other day that Jesus would never do anything offensive. And I was like, do we read the same Bible? Because I read the story the other day where he called that woman a dog. I never called a woman a dog. He called this woman a dog. She just wanted to be healed, and he called her a dog. It was crazy. He told the Pharisees that they were whitewashed tombs, that they were vipers, that there was a special place in hell reserved for them. Man, mean tweet, Jesus. It's not very Christ-like of you to say those things. Told you we were going to have fun. Oh, my goodness. Come on. And I want to challenge us in this way, too. Some of us need to be more vocal about the Savior in which we serve than the political party that we have alliance with. I'm all for us having a political alliance. It's totally fine. It's okay. The kingdom is political. Well, the church should stay out of politics. Yeah, and that's why we're at. That's why we're here. Man, do you think the churches that are hanging out in China, do you think they wish they could be involved in politics? I'm just saying. I came here for Jesus today, not for politics. Okay? Well, if we don't talk about politics, then one day we won't be able to meet in here and talk about Jesus. It's important. It's important. Okay, let's move on. We cannot have the attitude of, boy, it's getting dark out there. It's getting bad out there. This world is not my home. This world is going to hell. Lord, come quickly. Maybe it's dark out there because the church needs to turn the light on. Man, I wish we had more people in church. It's so sad that we've got empty seats in here. Or maybe the people in here need to realize that they're filled with the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Maybe we got to understand that greater are those that are for us than those that are against us. You and God are the majority. Every time. Every time. We don't need 500 more people or another campus. We need the all-consuming fire of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
I'll take 2 people in the Holy Ghost and 5,000 people without him. And keep hiding out in your yuppie, watered-down megachurch that's afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit or politics because it'll affect their pocketbook. What the American church needs is a fresh fire. What the American church needs is a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit that testifies we belong to Abba. That we are filled with his authority. Man, the world called us non-essential and we laid down and took it like sheep for the slaughter. And if there's churches that still aren't open, if you're watching this and you go to a church that's still not open, you need to leave. Cannot say that we are non-essential. Where is our faith? Where's our courage? Where's our boldness? Where's the church that invades the impossible? The church that goes into the dark places? The church that stands in the desert and says, this thing has to turn into an oasis because I'm here. Come on. Jesus might be coming back tomorrow and he might not. What are you going to do when he does come back? Listen, you think Jesus is coming back tomorrow and you just sang that song that God's going to bless your family for thousands and thousands and thousands of generations. Well, not if he comes back tomorrow. Sorry. He'd been coming quickly for 2,000 years. We're on day 2. 1,000 years like a day of the Lord, we're on day 2. What did he say? Occupy until I come. And that word occupy is not stand idly by. That word occupy means do something with what I gave you. If you read that parable in which he told those servants to do that, the one that got thrown out into the weeping and gnashing of teeth was the one who was idle, who was afraid, who hid, instead of doing something with the gifts that God had given him. Come on, we're called to build this kingdom. We're called to build this kingdom. Well, the virus is just a sign that the end is near. How so? Because we've dealt with a lot of worse diseases, I promise you. A lot worse sicknesses, a lot worse pestilence than this. And I hate that it kills anybody. I really do. I hate that any sickness kills anyone. I've wept, I've mourned, I've prayed. We are called to mourn with those who mourn, but we're not called to stay in despair. But take heart, because I've overcome this world. He's overcome the coronavirus. And maybe the reason we haven't seen it leave our land yet is because a church hasn't really believed that he has overcome it. I know I'm saying some hard things, but I want to build our faith and believe that we are people of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. And we've got to begin to believe in faith that we are filled with this power. Come on. Take heart. Where are the believers that stand in faith and believe that Jesus has overcome every sickness and every disease? Where are the believers who move towards sickness, not away from it? People say, oh, you got the flu. I've got to stay away from you. Oh, you got a stomach bug. Don't come close to me. Because that's how Jesus would have responded, right? Luke chapter 5, the leper comes to Jesus and he falls on his face and he says, if you're willing, make me whole. And Jesus steps right up to him while everybody else would have been running away, screaming unclean. Jesus steps right into that space and picks him up and embraces him. The Greek word says that he hoptimize him, meaning he doesn't just touch him, he embraces him and he heals him all the way to the core. Well, I don't know about that. Well, if I get close to somebody with the virus, I might get it. Or you might not. You might walk in the room and people might get healed because you believe that you're there and you've been sent by God to heal people. The miracles didn't stop. He's still a God of miracles. He's still working in the earth. He still wants to move in power. There's no scripture in this Bible that says these things passed away. What it does say is good works I do, greater works ye shall do. What it says in Mark 16 is, go ye therefore into all the nations, making disciples, and these signs shall follow those that believe. Amen. These signs shall follow those that believe. Demons will flee from you. The sick will be healed. The dead will be raised. Come on. Come on. Well, I've been praying for it and I don't see it. Well, keep going after it until you do see it. You stand on this word. Maybe it's our fault that cessation is real because we don't actually believe that God moves anymore. Maybe he wants to move, but he can't find a people who are unified and willing where two or three are gathered and asking anything fully convinced in his name. Amen. I want to build up our faith this morning. Take heart, there is power running through your veins. You've been adopted into a family. You've been so adopted that your genetics have changed. Your DNA is now the DNA of Jesus. Come on. Take heart. Take heart. The most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament is Psalms 110:1. If it's the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament, it might be important. Psalms 110:1, the Father says to the Son, sit here on your throne while I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus' work is complete. He's on the throne. God now wants to co-labor with us through the power of the Holy Spirit to take dominion, to build his kingdom, to bring heaven to earth every day. In your workplace, in your home, in your family. Everywhere that we go, he wants us. He wouldn't have prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if he didn't mean it. How much is God's will being done in heaven? 100%. So how much does he want God's will to be done, being done on earth? 100%. And it may not happen overnight. That's okay. We might be here for a while, and that's okay. That's why we're raising children up in the way that they should go. We need to have babies. Have kids. Get married and have lots of kids. Don't be an escapist. Don't rejoice in darkness. We were born to invade the darkness with light. Kingdoms rise and fall. Empires come up and fade away. Nations are born and nations died, but one thing remains, the kingdom of God. God's kingdom on earth. Jesus. We need to understand this. Jesus has won and is winning. He has won and he is winning. The kingdom is here and not yet. The kingdom is available. It's here and it's also not yet. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of redemption. We are the ambassadors of Christ that he has sent out in his name with his authority to walk in and tell all of creation, hold up, there's a new boss in town. Devil, you can't do that anymore over here. There's a new king in charge. Cancer cells, you are canceled in that person's body because there's a new ruler in charge. And he says, there's no sickness where I am. Yeah. Amen. Thought I'd have more amens on that one, but come on. Take heart. Take heart. Take heart. Where is the church like that shepherd boy David who said, who is this Philistine that defies my God? Who is the, where is the righteous anger of the church that gets mad at the darkness? Where is the people that step out on the battlefield and said, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. It's your last day. You come at me with viruses and riots and protests and abortion, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Come on. Jesus. Jesus. I don't know how to land this. Let's do it together. Man, I really feel like we got a few minutes. I really feel like we should pray for some people. Sunny, is it possible to put on some, just like some worship music? Maybe like Waymaker or something like that. Something simple. You know, I want us to take heart. I want the church to rise up. I want to encourage us to do that, to find our voice. No longer can we be a silent majority. We got to step up and find our voice. And we've got to find our voice, even if it seems like everybody else around us is saying the opposite. The reason Sarah and I named our son Micaiah is because Micaiah in 1 Kings 22 stood up to two kings and 400 prophets and said, you're all wrong. Here's what God said. Here's the truth. And we never heard from him again. But basically, they took him away and they imprisoned him, and what he said came to pass. We've got to have faith like that. We've got to have courage like that. We've got to have boldness like that. It's incredible. In Acts, the one thing that marked the apostles over and over and over again was boldness and courage. They stood before the very council that crucified Jesus and shared the gospel with them just 40 days after Jesus had been crucified and risen again. And they looked at him and said, these are ordinary men. They're uneducated, but man, they're bold. And it said they could tell they had been with Jesus. That's the key to all of it. Have you been with Jesus? Are you abiding in him? If you abide in him, there's a peace that passes all understanding. How do you feel this morning? Are you tired? Are you wore out? Are you frustrated? Because I want to let you know in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you're feeling weak, it may be because you haven't been in his presence, because there's strength there. Stay in his presence till you find that strength, and then don't ever leave his presence. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Constantly in communion with him. It's where you find your heart. It's where you find your courage. It's where you find your boldness. It's where you find your faith. It's where you're no longer afraid of what man says. It's where you're no longer afraid of what man can do to you or what man says about you. We live in a time where it's time for the church to stop playing games. We got to move past Sunday morning only Christianity. It's an everyday walk with him. It's an everyday shining bright with him. You're not coming in here for an hour and a half on Sunday just to ease your conscience the rest of the week. We come in here and we gather to lift up the name of Jesus, to minister to him, then to sit under the word and be built up and exhorted and encouraged and prophesied over so that we go out and we continue to shine bright everywhere that we go. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want to say this. I want to move into maybe some personal spaces in your heart right now. If you feel defeated this morning, take heart. If you feel beat up this morning, take heart. If you feel depressed this morning, take heart. If you feel overwhelmed this morning, take heart. If you need to be healed this morning, take heart. He's in the room and he's willing. He's willing. He's willing. He's willing. He's willing. Parents, if your kid was sick, all you would want to do is see your kid healed. And we are not better parents than our Father. He desires to make us whole and to make us well. Take heart. If you're fearful, full of anxiety, fear of future, take heart. Take heart. God's got it. He wins. He wins. Stand with me. Chaz, can we bring the lights down just a little bit? I just want to pray for a few minutes. In John chapter 11, Jesus shows up to the tomb of Lazarus. He shows up to the tomb of Lazarus, and Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus doesn't shy away from it. He moves right into that space. He moves right into that space and called Lazarus forth. I want to let you know this morning that Jesus doesn't shy away from your hard situation. He moves right into that space. If you're going through a divorce, take heart. If you're going through betrayal, take heart. If people have said nasty things about you, take heart. If you're believing for a miracle, take heart. If you're having trouble with your finances, take heart. If your babies are prodigal, take heart. He's calling them home. He's calling them home. If you're struggling this morning, take heart. If you can't seem, if you can't seem to put the drink down, take heart. If you can't seem to stop taking the pill, take heart. If you can't seem to quit looking at porn, take heart. He doesn't shy away from those places. He moves right into those spaces wherever you're struggling, wherever you feel beat up, wherever the enemy has said you're defeated, you'll never overcome this. You're a worthless piece of dung. Take heart, because that's not what God says about you. That's not how he sees you. That's not how he sees you, friend. He sees you as son and he sees you as daughter. And there's nothing that you can do to separate yourself from his great love. And he's coming into that place today. He's coming to that place today and he's calling back. He's calling you back to himself. God didn't give up on the world. He didn't give up on Adam when Adam blew it. He came right into that place where Adam was. And he told Adam, what you've done is separating us, but I'm coming for you. And he is furiously pursuing your heart. And if you feel like you just can't get it right, he's coming, man. He's coming. Grace doesn't look the other way. Grace invades those places. Grace isn't God throwing up his hands. It's God rolling up his sleeves. And he's coming into those places. And so I say, if you're struggling, take heart. He doesn't come with condemnation. He comes with love. Jesus. Jesus. I want to do this right now. If you need healing in your body, I want you to lift your hand up. Either one or two hands. I want you to lift it over. If you need healing in your body in any way, you need healing in your body, your physical body. Okay, if you're around somebody that has their hands up, I want you to place a hand on them or stretch out in faith towards them. James says that if anybody needs healing, let them come to the church. Let them be anointed with oil. Here's the deal. The people around you are anointed with oil. They've got the oil of the Holy Spirit flowing out of them. We declare healing in bodies right now in Jesus' name. From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, we command their body to come into alignment right now with heaven in Jesus' name. Ankles, knees, backs, necks be healed in Jesus' name. internal issues, organs come into alignment with heaven right now in Jesus' name. Muscle problems come into alignment right now with Jesus' name. Cancer cells, you're dead in Jesus' name. We rebuke you out of that body right now. You have no place there, Satan. And we speak healing and life over that body. Lord, we rebuke diabetes in Jesus' name. We declare healing over bodies right now. Lord, maybe even physical ailments that are of our own consequence because of things that we've eaten or things that we've done. That's the old you. You are a new creation. And we declare you healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We stand on your word, Lord. We believe. We believe. We believe. We believe. All right, now listen, this is going to take more boldness than physical healing, but if you need emotional healing, mental healing, if there's depression, if there's anxiety, if there's things going on in your heart, there's things that you can't seem to get over, or maybe even you're struggling, you feel lost, you feel broken, you feel helpless, and you need healing on the inside. When Jesus healed that leper, he didn't just heal him physically, he healed him spiritually. He healed him emotionally. He hoptamide him means he healed him all the way through to the core. And so if there's emotional or mental healing that you need, I want you now to raise your hands over your head. There's no judgment here. There's no condemnation. If there's something going on in your life that we need to pray for, let's get it out right now. Let's pray over you right now. The same power that heals physical bodies heals mental bodies. The same power that heals broken bodies heals broken hearts. Jesus is in this room and he wants to make you well. Let's find everybody that's got a hand up and let's lay a hand on them. Come on, we're here for our brothers and sisters today. The pot roast can wait for a minute. Let's let the Lord move for just a minute. Lord, we declare healing over broken hearts, broken minds right now in Jesus' name. We rebuke anxiety. We rebuke fear. We rebuke loneliness, insecurity. The fear of never measuring up. The fear of never being good enough. Jesus, you come into these places. Jesus, your love is so good, it makes us completely whole. And we declare love. We declare beloved identity over each and every person here, that they would see themselves the way that you see them, Lord. They would see themselves the way that you see them. We rebuke any demonic attack that's coming against them right now in Jesus' name. Where the enemy would come and put thoughts in their head that are not of you, we take those things captive. We bind them right now in Jesus' name. And we loose your Holy Spirit oil to flow all over their minds and their hearts, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 you're so good. You're so good, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Those words of Waymaker keep going through my head. Even when I can't see it, you're working, Lord. And even when I can't feel it, you're working, Lord. And even if you didn't feel anything in your body, your heart, or your mind this morning, he's working. He's working on your behalf. He's working. He's working. Let's end this way. I want everybody to put a hand. I want to put a hand over our heart and a hand towards heaven, and we're going to pray for ourselves. Lord, we need a fresh baptism. We need a fresh baptism. Baptize us in your Holy Spirit. Baptize us in your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit till we overflow. I feel it right now. I feel the oil. I feel the warm. I feel the fire filling us up right now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may boldly proclaim this gospel of love, this gospel of truth, this gospel of the kingdom, this good news that every person needs to hear, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Baptize us in a fresh fire that would cause us to take heart, that would cause us to find our voice that we may have lost, that would cause us to find our courage, Lord. That we would not fear darkness, that we would turn the light on, and that everywhere we go, darkness would scatter and darkness would flee, and we would realize who we are, and we would stand there until the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and the darkness gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. He's a defeated enemy. He's a defeated foe. And we are full of your Spirit, Lord. We ask that you would lead us and guide us and direct us this week, God. Give us your eyes, Lord. Let us see people, not as a political opponent, but let us see people the way that you see them, Lord. The world doesn't need more ticked off people at a political party. They need Christians who the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God abroad in their hearts. They need Christians full of love and full of grace and full of truth. They need Christians to really rise up and be like Jesus. Help us, Lord, to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. We're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for the blood that washes us clean. We're so thankful that even when we're imperfect, even when we don't say things the right way, even when we blow it, even when we mess up, you still pull us close and you still say that we are worthy, not by our works, but by what Jesus did, by his finished work on the cross. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Holy Spirit, to build your kingdom, to see people come back to you. And I prophesy over this body right now, and anybody watching the live stream, anybody watching this 2 weeks, 2 years from now, take heart. Because the kingdom is within you. Yes. Take heart. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We love you, God. We worship you. We lift up your name. We seal this time. Let it be imprinted on our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.